Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
Welcome back. It's a pleasure, as always, to have you here at The Advertising Show. It's Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe. Advertising Show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. The Advertising Show is a Big Radio Midgets production. Also want to say welcome and thanks to one of our newest sponsors, and that is Rebus. It's incredible CRM software for ad agencies, and you need to check it out at Rebus, and I'll spell that for you. It's R-E-B-U-S. Software.com. So that's Rebus-software.com. Check it out if you're an agency, something worthwhile to look into. As we roll today with Matt Pike out of Sheffield, England. Matt is. He lives in a log cabin in Sheffield. Normally, Brad, you don't think of a log cabin as being in England. You think more of like a castle or something like that, you know. It doesn't sound like Abraham Lincoln territory, but apparently Matt is a very interesting gentleman, and we're looking forward to talking with him as well, right?
Well, absolutely, and I'm going to, you know, quiz him, as I know you want to as well, about this log cabin. What in the world are you doing in a log cabin in the middle of Cheshire?
Yeah, no kidding. We have Jeffrey Gittimer here in just a few moments. When you go to see a client, how do you come back and do a repeat show? In other words, if you scored a winner, how do you turn that thing around and say, you know, I'm going to do this again, and I'm going to wow them just as big? Jeffrey has that in a few minutes, and Gene Bliss, a little bit later on this hour, Wegmans, no rule book for the staff. In other words, you don't have the employee handbook or the rules posted or whatever. They just do what they're supposed to do because that's the way it is. So, hey, we're here at Super Bowl weekend, right? Yes,
right.
We are.
Yeah.
I thought I've got an interesting piece on here. Go ahead if you'd like to chat about something. I've been taking up the front of this thing here, so go ahead.
Well, I saw this by the Associated Press recently, Ray, and I immediately thought of you, and you tell me if this doesn't parallel your consumer habits recently. People drank more liquor but turned into cheaper brands, according to a report by an industry group. They also drank more at home and less in pricier bars and restaurants. In an effort to save money, industry growth slowed in 2009 with the amount of liquor sold by suppliers up 1.4%. That's the smallest increase since 2001. Well below the 10-year average of 2.6%. Apparently, Ray, lowest-priced segment brands are the ones that show a bump, and those in the more high-end, such as, I don't know, by comparison, Popoff Vodka being the low-end and Grey Goose being the high-end,
sure,
tumbling at the high-end at 5.1% and increasing at the low-end 5.5%. So, big question, you being a vodka, gin, various other sundry of hard liquor consumer yourself, Ray. Does that match up with your with your habits lately?
I could ask the same of you, although it would be the screw top wines as opposed to the box wines or
yeah,
whatever. Yeah, get some tawny port. Yeah, you know, I tend to think that everybody's doing that. Look at who's coming out with vodka now. Is it Walmart? They've got their own brand of vodka.
I didn't know that. That didn't surprise me, but no, I didn't know that.
I'm just not sure I would buy Walmart vodka, but that's okay. I suppose I'd give it a try.
I heard if you drink enough of it, all of a sudden the greeter starts looking a little more attractive than normal.
Yeah, they're very nice, too. I like the part where they check your receipt at the end to make sure you haven't stolen anything. That's my part of the experience that I truly enjoy. And I just smile and shake their hand and say, thank you for checking me out. Would you like to pat me down as well? I don't know. I think people are becoming a lot more conservative than they used to in their spending. And, you know, it's funny, Brad. You know, you talk about different beers and different price ranges. I would prefer to have one of something incredibly special than a couple of something else's, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
So I would suggest that would go the same for the liquors as well. The Super Bowl coming up, obviously, very quickly here, depending upon when you're listening to this thing, our show, and and if you're listening to it, it may be over if you're listening in podcast. But basically, today's Super Bowl will be played in a building that over the years has been named a few different things. It was named Pro Player Stadium after a clothing line. It was named Land Shark Stadium after an entertainer's beer company. You know who that is. And Sun Life Stadium after the Canadian financial services firm that cut a deal last month. It'll always be Dolphin Stadium to me. But basically what they're saying, among all the companies that have put their names on a stadium where at least one NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball, or NHL team has played, the best track record belongs to Gillette. In 2002, the company, now part owner of P&G, paid an undisclosed sum over 15 years to sponsor the stadium built for the Patriots. Since the deal began, the Patriots have won two Super Bowls and a staggering 75% of their games. Number two slot there goes to H.J. Heinz and its sponsorship of the Steelers' home Heinz Field. Steelers have posted a .656 winning percentage since that stadium opened in 01. And let's see, at Staples Office Supply Company, $100 million over 20 years. No wonder they're selling the thing. That's a good deal. Put its name on the Lakers stadium, who have made them look good by winning 65% of your games. So I guess what they're suggesting here is that not a bad idea to name your stadium, because in essence it just makes a lot of sense here. So anyway, and you might even win some games as well. So what do you think about that?
Well, you know, if you can get the money, I suppose, and it's the way the world has been going for the past several years. There was a big hubbub about that when they first started naming stadiums, but it's just part of the economics of the way football works today, and just professional sports, and being able to get those huge, huge contracts for those athletes so that they can get up on TV and cry about various drugs and steroids, yeah, and alcohol and various other abusive things that they've done. Remember, as I said many shows ago, remember when you could just watch your sports hero on television and they didn't cry? I mean, that was it was such a nice thing to do.
It really was. They were drunk. That's why they didn't cry.
You may be right. Hey, Ray, real quickly, I know we got to take a break here, but I wanted to mention that Katie Couric, apparently, with a little bit more than a year to go on her contract, is putting her resume together and making sure it's saying what it needs to say. According to the New York Post, the CBS Evening News anchor is facing a cut in her $15 million a year salary, and more importantly, her bosses at CBS have said that they're not really sure whether they want to keep her at any price. So, you know, if you don't see Katie on here soon, you'll be hearing more about that, I'm sure, in the general press. But for now, you heard it here first. Couric polishing her resume.
Interesting. Bring back Walter. Oh, wait, he's dead.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a break here with Jeffrey Gittimer on the Advertising Show.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations with Jeffrey Gittimer, nationally syndicated columnist in the network of City Business Journals and other great publications worldwide. If you're offended by common sense commentary, don't you dare listen. Now, here's Jeffrey.
Jeffrey, I'm not doing well. Jeffrey, they're setting too high a goal for me. Jeffrey, I don't like my boss. Jeffrey, I'm in a slump. Jeffrey, our products is not good. Jeffrey, I think I should go someplace else. And I say to that, you know what? Your head's probably already someplace else. Your mind is gone from your job. But here's what to do. If you leave where you are and you go someplace new and you haven't achieved where you are, the odds are you're going to talk about them bad, you're going to be disgruntled at your next place, and you're not going to have the success that you're looking for where the grass is always greener. I recommend to every person that says to me, I'm leaving my job for something better, I recommend that first you become the number one salesperson in your company. Take the extra 2 or 3 months and work so hard that you become number one. And when you do, on the day you become number one, quit then. Quit at the top of the heap so that people are dragging you by the ankle. No, don't leave. Please don't leave. You're our best salesperson. When you can say that you're number one and it's time for me to move on. Then you can get to the next plateau and achieve greater success. Don't leave a loser. Leave a winner.
Quick takes on sales and customer relations from The Advertising Show, the only radio show in America featuring Jeffrey Gittimer as a regular weekly guest. To learn more about his books, tapes, CDs, and speaking engagements, log on to Gittimer.com, Gittomer.com. And tune in next week when we'll hear Jeffrey say,
"This is Jeffrey Gittimer, reminding you that if no one responds to your ad, it may be because your ad sucks."
Hey, Jeffrey, thanks a lot. Here with Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth on The Advertising Show. Matt Pike out of Sheffield, England is our guest this weekend. Based in a log cabin studio in Sheffield, Matt is a painter, photographer, artist, curator, designer, animator, director, producer, and lecturer. The company is called Universal Everything. It was formed in 2004 as an ever-growing collective of designers, programmers, musicians, and artists. Man, I just want to come out and hang out there. You know what I'm saying? We've got Matt on the interview here in just a few moments here with Ray and Brad on The Advertising Show, and we hope you can stick around for that. We're pretty sure you will.
We didn't create Rebus, the best advertising agency software application, overnight. It took us about 20 years of refinement, with the help of over 400 of our customers worldwide. From CRM estimating and timesheet entry to a full accounting package, Rebus Software is a fully integrated and user-friendly platform that will make your staff more efficient and your agency more profitable. And because Rebus is an energetic, multilingual, and multicultural company, we can respond quickly to your specific needs from the U.S. to the U.K., Spain, Italy, and Australia. Rebus, refined and proven effective by advertising agencies around the world. Want to find out how Rebus can work for your agency? Schedule a live online demo right now. Go to rebus-software.com, rebus-software.com. The live online demo is free. The results go directly to your agency's bottom line. rebus-software.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
Men. Nothing takes it off like Noxzema medicated shave.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Schillens, Brad Forsyth. Sure, it's great that you're here this weekend. We do appreciate you listening, especially because Matt Pike took the time to join in the conversation from a bit away from the mainland here in the United States. So he's from Sheffield, England. As we said before, he's a painter, photographer, artist, curator, and we're going to talk a little bit about his company called Universal Everything. UniversalEverything.com is the website, working with everything from pencils to a generative design. Universal Everything is a diverse studio with a crossover between design and art. Commissions ranging from packaging to stadium events for clients like Apple, Audi, Nokia, to the London 2012 Olympics. That's where they're going to be. His works have been shown in the galleries from Victoria and Albert Museum in London, the Museum of Modern Art, New York, to Colette Paris. So, Matt, you've been a busy person here, and it sounds like what you've got cooking there is kind of cool. Welcome to the show. It's good to have you here.
Excellent. Yes, nice to be invited. Thank you. Good to see you all.
Yeah, Matt, I wanted to, Ray set that up beautifully, so that precludes me asking you the question to share with our listeners anything about your company and what you guys do for a living. Are there any recent projects, Matt, you'd like to begin talking about and share with our audience that you're especially proud of, you've worked on lately?
Yeah, there's been a couple of really interesting projects which took most of our time and energy in 2009. The first one being we were asked directly by MTV International to rebrand the main channel so it becomes a coherent look across the entire world except for the USA. It's two separate entities, MTV
right.
USA and MTV International. So that was a biggie for us. Really interesting, making 12 different spots, 30-second spots, with, I think it was a total of 26 people in 9 different countries that we collaborated in to make those pieces. And then we ended up tackling all of the information graphics in 9 different alphabets. so Korean, Russian, English, Japanese, and so on. So that was a biggie for us and great fun, and didn't really feel like there was any creative compromise. The second project, which happened towards the end of last year, was for AOL. This was working with Wolf Olins in New York, the branding agency, and they commissioned us to create a long series of moving animated backgrounds, which are called digital canvases, which are how the identity works. The identity is ever-changing, and it's always got these new moving canvases which reveal the logo. So that's an ongoing project for us, and we're working more with them this year. But those were the two exciting projects we came up with last year.
Well, I have several questions about the MTV project, but first, moving animated backgrounds, where would that appear for AOL?
This will appear on any form of screen. So in this day and age, we have mobile devices, there's billboards in Times Square, there's web pages, there's banner ads, there's interactive billboards in shopping malls and in airport lounges and things like that. So it's really a sort of a modern-day branding exercise where logos and branding does not have to stand still and does not have to be a static logo anymore. So it really is living across any display format.
Yet they assume that they have some continuity and they would be similar in look, feel, design, colorization, something along those lines, whether it be an outdoor or across a computer screen or mobile?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We designed everything to be scalable, so it works well in a pocket-sized device all the way up to a 25-meter-wide billboard.
I must tell you, as I read about the MTV International project, my goodness, how in the world, what challenges must have been involved in establishing a logical and coherent brand language across 160 different countries, speaking 31 different languages? I mean, do you start with a concept and then try to figure out how that concept can be understood by various cultures and languages, or do you look at the culture itself first and then come back the other way?
Yeah, I think we looked at the global culture first. You know, what is a global culture? And one thing we knew we could not approach was having any language, either written or spoken, in any of the spots, and a flexibility for every alphabet, because Thai alphabet is very different to English alphabet in the sense of it has ascenders and descenders in the typography. So our online, on-screen information graphic kit of parts, as it were, had to be adaptable to all that. So there was a few hurdles that we had to overcome to make sure that happens. But from a creative point of view, we looked at a thread that runs through all culture, and that was driven by music. You know, MTV is, you know, a first and foremost music-based station. Even things like the Osbournes and shows that they produce are stemming from music culture.
So even at a global approach, Matt, you had a common thread of music, or the same music, or what?
Yeah. So the core idea was basically the idea of having this MTV rhythm, this MTV pulse that created soundtracks which all had a shared tempo and a shared rhythm for each of the spots. And then the immediacy came from how the live action or the animation danced or reacted to that music. And we felt like having a global rhythm and a very clear reaction between sound and image was something that every global audience could understand. Another important factor was in biasing the spots towards an abstracted direction. So it was a bit more ambiguous and a bit more open to interpretation by different cultures. There's always a hint of human activity, but we never really showed particular personalities or faces or creeds or nationalities or anything. It was always a bit more abstracted.
On the Advertising Show, Rachel and Brad Forsyth, a very special guest out of Sheffield, England. I want to talk about that log cabin you're in, Matt, too, as well. Founder of Universal Everything, UniversalEverything.com, with Ray and Brad. More on the Advertising Show, you bet, in just a minute.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
Do you know exactly how to read an Oreo? Well, to do it, you unscrew it very fast.
Welcome back to The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. On the phone we have Matt Pike, who is the founder and the CEO, the big shot, at UniversalEverything.com. UniversalEverything.com is a really cool place. The Guardian lists the studio as one of the top 50 designers in the United Kingdom. You might even think they're in the top five. You know what I'm saying? Maybe number one. But so, Matt, you're listed as living in a log cabin. Log cabins, I did not know, existed in anywhere but Illinois, here in the United States. A log cabin, Matt? That's interesting. Tell us about that.
Well, yeah, as you mentioned, Sheffield, I'm on the edge of Sheffield near the Peak District National Park, and although it's not a traditional log cabin, my studio is at the end of our garden, which is surrounded by trees, and it's more of an architect-built cabin made of cedar wood logs. So it's a modernist log cabin, if anything.
And Matt gives tours of that daily at 2 and 4. It costs you $3. No, I'm joking, Matt.
It would be £3.
No, that would be, okay, $6, then that's fine, whatever.
Matt, you've struck a chord with Ray and I. We'd love to be sitting in a garden studio any day of the week instead of holed up in a dark audio facility as we typically are. Let's talk a little bit about your company, Universal Everything. Some might call this a fully creative-driven company, yet I'm sure that there must be challenges to striking a balance between putting creativity first and running a profitable business. Talk a little bit about that, Matt.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, creativity is first and foremost the thing that we focus on, and I think that's what brings the income as well. But I've always been a firm believer in having a strong business foundation and support from my executive producer, Philip Ward, and project managers and things like that as a really important foundation to enable creativity to thrive. We always make sure that we choose projects very carefully, so we say no to an awful lot of projects, which is quite nerve-wracking at first, especially when you're a young, growing studio, but having the bravery to say no to projects that don't feel right and may send us on a unintended destiny is a good bravery to pursue.
I couldn't agree with you more, and as in your youth, you have both the ability to be choosy, and yet at the same time, you may tend to want to take projects because of your youth and your inability to command the respect of your peers because you're new to a field or whatever the case may be. And anyone that can, out of the box, begin to be choosy in who they do business with and let that be a part of how they operate for the long term, I think is wonderful.
What a fresh, refined approach, huh, Brad?
That's a wonderful, wonderful brand and a wonderful thing to be known for. You know, as we all look forward to a new year and a new decade, one of the missions at Universal Everything is to keep evolving. Matt, what can we expect to see for the near term that is keeping with the mission that you call keep evolving for your company?
Right. Well, one thing that we do is keep evolving, partly to keep it interesting for me and for the people that we work with, and partly I like the challenge of never repeating ourselves, or at least try not to. There's always new things out there to explore. And a few things we've got coming up. We have an exhibition at a newly built digital art museum in Paris called La Gate Lyrique in 2011. And I think there's seven different spaces in that gallery that we've been commissioned to fill. We have a live improvised audio-visual performance, which is with my brother, who's our sound designer as well. So every event will be a unique event, and it will take it on a different journey each time. So there are different ways of sort of challenging how we apply the creativity. We're also about to launch a couple of new websites, redesigning our sites to have a more behind-the-scenes peek into our influences and our ongoing processes as and when they're produced. So it's very much almost like a live diary of all the thinking that we're doing inside the studio.
When would we be able to see the new launch of the of your site, UniversalEverything.com?
I'd say that would be live around the middle of February.
Okay, just in time here. Let's take a break here for just a moment. Our special guest out of Sheffield, England, Matt Pike, who is the big guy at Universal Everything, UniversalEverything.com. We'll talk more with Matt, along with Ray and Brad here on the Advertising Show. It's being powered by Schiphol. Schiphol.com is the place. It's S-C-H-I-P-U-L.com. An incredibly cool marketing platform called Tendency. Check it out at Schiphol.com. Back in just a minute.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Hey, meet the swinger, Polaroid swinger. Meet the swinger, Polaroid swinger.
We get to spend a little more time with Matt Pike, our very special guest out of Sheffield, England, this weekend on The Advertising Show. And you're the founder, okay, the founder of Universal Everything at UniversalEverything.com. Matt, a sincere pleasure, and thanks for your time this weekend.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, Matt, most artists tend to focus on one or maybe a few media formats. Talk about the freedom one experiences working across all media formats. And by the way, is there a downside to having too many choices?
Yeah, I would say the downside to having too many choices is there's not enough hours in the day to do everything we want to do, is one downside. I always have this battle within myself, wishing that I could just operate a studio using pencil and paper, and that's all I need. But maybe one day in my retirement it'll end up like that. But it's exciting. I think I'm always a firm believer in an idea can be applied to any medium. And I really enjoy seeing stuff work from print design to packaging to a mobile device you can hold in your pocket to a stadium that is 25 meters high and has 4,000 people in it, and that's what excites me, is seeing one concept applied across all of those scales.
You know, it's on the one side, yeah, it can be challenging, but it certainly opens up and gives you a lot of freedom, I guess, to explore a variety of media and figuring out how to have one particular concept translate and communicate across a variety of media. Matt, working within a virtual network is certainly not as unusual as it once was. Do you find more and more people are embracing a virtual network, or are there still some resistance to the untraditional working environment, if you will?
Yeah, I think more and more people are, for sure. I know when I started in 2004, I was meeting clients in London, and they were saying, how is this going to work when you're in Sheffield, which is 160 miles from London? How is this going to work? And I'm kind of saying to them, that usually you call or email someone in London just up the road from you, and it's pretty much the same as calling me. And now the tide has turned, and people in London are now saying to me, I want to work in a log cabin near the national park.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's becoming more and more possible for it to happen due to the speed of the internet connection and due to people's mindsets changing. And I know now that, as I mentioned earlier with MTV, we're working with people dotted all over the world, some people in the middle of Russia, and it works a dream in the same way as people are sitting in the same room.
Yeah, the world's certainly becoming smaller every year and every month. What advice would you have for someone, Matt, who has been working in the creative department of an advertising agency and feels a bit compromised and unchallenged with their work? What would you recommend that they do to recharge their career?
I think having self-initiated projects with a purpose and a home, be it an exhibition in a gallery or publishing a book or releasing a DVD, is always a really good way of doing exactly what you want to do. And we still do that now, even with the commercial projects we have with Creative Freedom. We still try and maintain a 40-60% balance of commercial projects to self-initiated, as it's a way of completely independently forging a creative path and doing exactly what you want to do and announcing it to the world. So I would say personal projects is a way of venting your frustrations.
I like the fact that you've put these personal projects as it relates to Universal Everything, and it seems to me you want a singular brand impression of the company, of Universal Everything, on each and every project that you do. It's almost like a painter just, leaving that impression, or an artist leaving that impression with a particular song. We are excited about the fact that you are doing what you do, and keep on doing it, because, over there and over here, we need more of that kind of stuff, Matt. So we thank you for that. And also invite our listeners to go to your site and check it out, too. Universal Everything. It's easy to find. Stuff.com is the place. Matt, it's been a pleasure having you here at the Advertising Show.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
There is somewhere better to get inspired creative ideas, and this is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a PR campaign to include people who couldn't make it to the G8 rally, they got 53,000 people to join a virtual protest and a campaign that won 2 international creative awards. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put us to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. What have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth.
From San Francisco comes...
Rice, a-roni, the San Francisco treat. Rice.
It's great to get a chance to talk to Matt, and we wish him the best there. It's Universal Everything, the place he hangs out most, universaleverything.com. Hey, next week, Scott Donatan is going to be with us. Scott has been with us over the years when he was with us at Ad Age. Then he went, what was the next stop that he was at?
Entertainment Weekly.
And we're now talking to Scott as president and CEO of Ensemble, and we'll find out what that's all about. In our interview next week with Ray and Brad here at the Advertising Show. CBS Outdoor is doing some really cool things, Brad, in Grand Central Station with a Visa ad. And, it's one of those things we talked about a long time ago with the folks who were with the Outdoor Advertising Association of America. And I think the only thing we don't have at this point is smell-o-vision, but maybe we don't need that, especially in New York City. In an out-of-home first, CBS Outdoor unveiled the first high-def 3D projection display in the Grand Central Station in New York. And yes, the display for Visa's Go World campaign requires special 3D glasses, which are distributed on site by brand ambassadors. The campaign uses Visa's TV spots as the main creative element, and will run the entire month of February. They're shown daily from 11:30 until 1:30. So if you want to come over and watch a 3D ad for Visa TV, you can do that at Grand Central Station this month. That's kind of cool, huh?
Bring your glasses.
Well, no, they give them to you.
They do.
Yeah, it's a good thing. So, you know, but I think what a great concept to be able to, you know, be able to pull something like that. And basically, they're looking to engage about 70,000 daily consumers. So
do you keep the glasses or you give them back?
They don't say.
Yeah, and if you give them back, you know, then you put them on later, and it's like, who had these on before me? Do I really want to do this? You know,
no, you really don't.
Yeah.
But hopefully, maybe they do the throwaway. You know, with Avatar, the 3D glasses came with the we paid like $3 extra or something, but you got the 3D glasses, and you got to take them home with you.
So you've seen Avatar, I take it.
I haven't. I heard that was the experience. So,
yeah.
So.
I'm planning on going here in the next few to several days whenever I can talk my wife into it. I've got to see it. I'm not a big sci-fi fan, but, you know, you got to stay on top of pop culture and see what it's all about. Real quickly, Ray,
yeah.
Speaking of Universal, Comcast proposed takeover of NBC Universal is raising concern among independent NBC stations that network programming may appear first on cable. Independent stations affiliated with the NBC network, of course, also want to prevent a migration of the network's programming to cable. And, of course, the affiliates just have one more thing to be concerned about, since all that hubbub about, you know, Conan and Jay and all that. Now they're concerned about what Comcast might do with some programming when they take over with NBC Universal. I guess it's their choice to decide as programs get developed where they might want to plug those in. So kind of puts the network affiliates at a bit of a subordinate you know, position against Comcast. Something to think about, I suppose.
Yeah, I guess so.
And
as far as the Conan and the Leno thing, it's nice that it's finally over. It got a little old after a while.
Really?
You know what I mean?
Well, you know, Conan goes to the viewers and makes his plea, and Leno goes on Oprah.
Right. Maybe Conan will go on Oprah, too. I think that may happen.
They say her staff invited him, and he said maybe later, not right now. So we'll see.
Maybe he'll be taking the slot for CBS News in the evening.
Yeah, maybe so.
Gene Bliss is with us, The Customer Experience. This is one of the chapters from her book, but it's not the whole chapter, obviously, about Wegmans, a great store. No rule book for the staff. Grand idea. Stay with us.
Welcome to The Customer Experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
Wegmans Food Markets is a privately held grocery store chain with 37,000 employees. What fuels Wegmans' growth are passion, training, and trust. In traditional retailing, customer experiences can become stilted when the frontline staff has a list of do's and don'ts regarding how far they can go to serve their customers. Wegmans wanted to eliminate the behind-the-scenes rules and the required permissions from managers usually necessary in retail. So at Wegmans, there is no rule book. There is simply this: no customer is allowed to leave unhappy. By giving their staff control over their own decisions and believing in them, employees want to stay. The low turnover of 7% versus 19% for other grocery store chains enables Wegmans to redirect the money it would have spent on constant recruiting to the constant development of their folks. And with that, profitability has followed. Wegmans' operating margins are double that of its competitors. Is your trusting cup half full or half empty? Do you trust the majority of your employees to do the right thing, or do you manage to the minority?
This has been your weekly installment of The Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Gene Bliss, it is always a pleasure to have you here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsyth. Scott Donathan coming up next week. this Toyota whole thing with the fiasco. And one question that I had, and nobody seems to have brought it up, but Toyota also has the brand of car called Lexus. Now, one would think that they would probably use the same parts and technology for the most part between both brands. And I guess my question is, everybody's focused on the Toyota brand. What am I missing something here? Is all of those car, all of those cars that are duplicates or close to duplicates of the Toyota brand, they have no problems? And I'm just wondering, what do you think about that, Ed?
Well, you're right. All of the media focus is on Toyota. It's getting all the play. If you watch closely and listen closely, every once in a while you'll hear a drop-in of an item that doesn't get much play, and that is there have been, on an occasion or two, a Lexus with a stock accelerator that has been in an accident, and you're exactly right, Ray. It doesn't get any mention, and there is crossover use of parts and frames and so forth and engines between Lexus and Toyota. So it's out there. It's a problem for Lexus. It's maybe not as big of a problem as it is for Toyota, but it's a problem, and it's not getting any play unless you listen and watch very closely, and even when it does get play, it's, 2 seconds and it's gone. You don't get it. You don't see it.
Yeah. I don't know. I just can't see them ignoring this problem and wondering what they might think about doing it. About it, if they do decide that maybe some of the Lexus models do indeed need to be recalled.
They do, and I don't know, well, maybe when things slow down for Toyota, the media will decide they now need to go to Lexus and play that up.
Time to repair that problem. I guess that's probably a good thing. Hey, we're looking forward to Scott next week, and say thanks again to Matt Pike, UniversalEverything.com. Go check out the site and find out even more than you did today here at the Advertising Show, which is being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. You can visit online at adage.com. And, of course, we're here, too. We hope you'll tell a friend, too, about the Advertising Show. This is a Big Radio Midgets production.